Blog Talk Radio.
Computer on.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship
Mele
Prize. Its 5-year mission to explore. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no has gone before.
It is time for the hottest show on the internet. It is Renegade Radio with your host, DJ Smell for Good, and international
call. Interface complete.
Can hear the people as they say,
hey, brother, can you hear the dog? I don't want to end up doing time.
What they say is just the sign of the future.
Started thinking of the things that I did in my prime, like steal women's hearts, and nothing there goes. I know it sounds bad, but in the end I was a hoe, always roaming the streets just like a metrophone, smelling so good from my Dracar cologne. My chucks were always banged up, my dickies never greased, my hair was always slicked back from my live looks greased. Life's been good to me, that's why I got a grin. Plus I'm a Gemini, so don't disturb my other twin. I wonder if my life is full of sin, playing handball with the devil, cause I know he can't win. Too many times I live my life on the edge. I should've got married and had some kids instead. So now I'm at the bus stop waiting for death, wondering where my soul will lay to rest. Sitting at the bus stop waiting for death, my heart doesn't beat for life no more. Wondering where I'll go,
wondering,
wondering where I'll go.
Where you at?
Sitting at the bus stop waiting for death, my heart doesn't beat for life no more. Wondering where I'll go,
wondering,
wondering where I'll go.
Where you at?
Standing very proud and ready to die, like a soldier going to war without no life. As my blunt starts to end and the ashes start to fall, I was a king watching my castle crumble to the ground. But it's time to rebuild, like if I was in Haiti. This motherfucker's hating cause I fucked a lady, a sinful tactic, don't know how to act shit. I was young and dumb and apologize for that bit. Watch my life go by with a quickness, mesmerizing gift in that evil side sickness. Seeing all the women lust for me and looking at the people who never even loved me. As the smoke clears and everything settles, I hope the dry blood puts the pedal to the metal, cause I'm sitting at the bus stop waiting for death. I wonder where my soul will lay to rest. Sitting at the bus stop waiting for death, my heart doesn't beat for life no more. Wondering where I'll go,
wondering,
wondering where I'll go.
Where you at?
Sitting at the bus stop waiting for death, my heart doesn't beat for life no more. Wondering where I'll go,
wondering,
wondering where I'll go.
Where you at?
According to Fox News, USA Today, BBC News, The Insider, Wikipedia fucking .com, it seems that we got a real fucking problem going on, people. And I don't think people are understanding really the magnitude of what's going on. The poison in the water, people. I don't know how the motherfucker say that any kind of, you know what I'm saying, any other kind of way, but you know what I'm saying?
Intruder alert! Intruder alert!
They're poisoning the water. This is not a prank call.
Hello, I'd like to speak to Ms. Tinkle. First name, Ivana.
Ivana Tinkle. Just a sec. Ivana Tinkle! Ivana Tinkle! All right, everybody, put down your glasses. Ivana Tinkle.
Yeah. So the whole thing we're talking about today is what the fuck is in your water. With the recent so-called oil spill, and I say so-called, right, hold on, let me get my damn porn music started. First off, shouts out to the Netherlands up in there, you know what I'm saying? I'm a dog side night, getting ready to watch that game. You know what I'm saying? Well, we're going for Feyenoord versus Ajax. And, yeah, getting ready for that, popping off in about 20 minutes. And, all right, just got to walk the dogs. All right, hold on. Let me start us off first, because I got to get all my paperwork up so I can go right into this. You know what I'm saying? Y'all come right back, man. I'm going to give y'all some articles from everywhere that's been talking about this damn water shit. But I'm telling you now, this is just a brief description. What the fuck is in your water? With the recent so-called accidental oil spill in the Gulf, And with past oil spills in our water from as far as Alaska, it brings up an important question. What the fuck is in the water? You know what I'm saying? Intentional poisoning, destroying the last independent natural resource, killing Mother Earth. You know, if the world doesn't wake up and realize that your people and not religion is what's killing everything on this planet, you know what I'm saying? Then we're going to be fucked up, people. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just getting sick of that. Talking about it's the end of days. It's in the scriptures and all that old fuck shit. Man, please. You know, it's not in the scriptures for somebody to build a goddamn oil rig with no motherfucking supports that support holding the motherfucker up to the point where it's just sitting on one goddamn skinny-ass fucking pipe. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be holding all this shit up. How in the fuck y'all gonna say some dumb shit like that? You know what I'm saying? Come on, now. In Alaska, you know, they done had a ship, and I read that on the news yesterday. They had a ship that's been sitting since 1952, and it's been leaking since 1952 in the water. You know what I'm saying? So, which brings the question, Alaskans, do you know what the fuck you drinking? You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, we're going to try to contact somebody at, let me see, hold on just a second. ADN. We're going to try to contact somebody at ADN.com, which is over there in Alaska, man, because we got to get to the bottom of this shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to play one song, you know what I'm saying, very relevant, and then we're going to get back into some real knowledge, man. This is a very important show, you know what I'm saying? And you need to tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. You better stock up on your motherfucking water, man, because shit is about to hit the fan, and it's a man-made problem. You know what I'm saying? Ain't got nothing to do with your religion. Ain't got nothing to do. You can pray to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But the Lord is not causing what the fuck is going on here. Believe that. This is coming from this is one problem, and I covered this on my show one time before. This is with fucking fluoride being in the water. Nobody really don't know, because the motherfuckers still be buying the shit out the goddamn store. Bitches still brushing your teeth, with toothpaste. You know what I'm saying? Let me break something down to y'all real quick. Hold on a sec. Let's go to two different things. Because this is opposition to water fluoridation. And then let me give you the definition of fluoride. All right, fluoride. All right, fluoride is the anion F, the reduced form of fluorine. Both organic and inorganic compounds containing the element fluorine are sometimes called fluorides. Fluoride, like other halides, is a malevolent ion, negative one charge. Its compounds often have properties that are distinct relative to other halides. Structurally and to some extent chemically, the fluoride ion resembles the hydroxide ion. Fluorine containing compounds range from potent toxins such as sarin to life-saving pharmaceuticals such as efavirenz, and from inert materials such as calcium fluoride to the highly reactive sulfur tetrafluoride. The range of fluorine-containing compounds is considerable, as fluorine is capable of forming compounds with all the elements except helium and neon. Compounds containing fluoride anions, in many cases those containing covalent bonds to fluorine, are called fluorides. Solutions of inorganic fluorides in water contain F and bifluoride, HF2. Few inorganic fluorides are soluble in water without undergoing significant hydrolysis. Examples of inorganic fluorides include hydrofluoric acid, sodium fluoride, and uranium hexafluoride, UF6, HFNAF, and then UF6. In terms of its reactivity, fluoride differs significantly from chloride and other halides, and is more strongly solvated due to its smaller radius charge or ratio. Its closest chemical relative is hydroxide. The Cf linkage is one of the strongest single bonds in contrast with others. Many fluoride minerals are known, but paramount in commercial importance are fluorite and fluorapatite. Fluoride is found naturally in low concentration in drinking water and food. Water with underground sources is more likely to have high levels of fluoride, whereas the concentration in sewer water averages 1.3 parts per million. Fresh water supplies contain between 0.0 and 0.3, while the ocean contains between 1.2 and 1.5. Fluorides are pervasive in modern technology. Hydrofluoric acid is the most important fluoride synthesized. It is principally used in the production of fluorocarbons and aluminum fluorides. Hydrofluoric acid has a variety of specialized applications, including its ability to dissolve glass. And now this is what you're putting on your teeth, people. This is what the fuck you're putting on your teeth. Okay, you have a chemical that has the capability of dissolving glass. Okay, your teeth are made of enamel. Okay?
Wow.
Okay, if you don't know, fuck it, man. Now you know. Let's see here. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Okay. Fluoropolymers, Teflon, soft tissue, cosmetic, surgical implants, coronary bypass grafts, reconstructive surgery. These compounds are also commonly used as non-stick surfaces in cookware and bakeware. And the fluoropolymer fabric Gore-Tex used in breathable garments for outdoor use. That's what fluoropolymers are. Fluoride-containing compounds are used in topical and systematic fluoride therapy for preventing tooth decay. They're used for water fluoridation and in many products associated with oral hygiene. Originally, sodium fluoride was used to fluoridate water. However, high hexafluorosilic, some shit, H2SiF6 in its salt sodium hexafluorosilicate, Na2SiF6, are more commonly used additives, especially in the United States. The fluoridation of water is known to prevent tooth decay and is considered by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention as one of the great public achievements in the 20th century. And some countries with large centralized water systems are uncommon. Fluoride is delivered to the populace by fluoridating table salt. Fluoridation of water is not without ethics, without critics. However, and I'll be reading that, opposition to water fluoridation in just a second. The toxicology. Fluoride-containing compounds are so diverse that it is not impossible to generalize on their toxicity, which depends on their reactivity and structure. In the case of salts, their solubility and ability to release fluoride ions. Both accidental suicide from acute poisoning, minimal fatal death in humans is not known. A case of fatal poisoning of an adult with 4 grams of NAF is documented. For sodium, the 50% lethal dose orally is the rate corresponding to 12.0 grams for 100 kilogram adult. The fatal period ranges from 5 minutes to 12 hours. The mechanism of toxicity involves the combination of the fluoride anion with the calcium ions in the blood to form insoluble calcium fluoride, resulting in the hypocalcemia. Calcium is indispensable for the function of the nervous system, and the condition can be fatal. Treatment may involve oral administration of dilute calcium hydroxide or calcium chloride to prevent further absorption and injection of calcium gluconate to increase the calcium levels in the blood. Hydrogen fluoride is more dangerous than salts such as NaF because it's corrosive and volatile and can result in fatal exposure through inhalation or upon contact with skin. Calcium gluconate gel is the usual antidote. Now, this is, let's see, which can alter the appearance of children's teeth. Dental, and the lower dose is used for water fluoridation. The only clear adverse effect is dental fluorosis, which can alter the appearance of children's teeth during teeth development. This is mostly mild. It is unlikely to represent any real effect on aesthetic appearance or on public health. Imagine that. Imagine the fuck out of that. I like kids' teeth all jacked up now because you motherfuckers are sitting up here talking about some brushy goddamn teeth. You know what I'm saying? Dental fluorosis is a health condition caused by a child receiving too much fluoride during tooth development. Now, this is what I'm saying. Okay, you got fluoride in the water. So you're poisoning the water, okay, and then you got fluoride in the goddamn toothpaste. So now you're giving double amounts of fluoride, you know what I'm saying, to anybody. So whether it's a small child or whether it's a grown-ass adult, they're getting double the amounts of fluoride, you know what I'm saying, that should probably be taken in, you know what I'm saying. But then, you know, there's no scientific evidence to prove or disprove that, so therefore, you know what I'm saying? You leaving your mouth out there to just be an open target for experiment. Keep moving on. The critical period of exposure is between 1 and 4 years old. Children over age are not at risk. Age 8 are not at risk. And its mild form, which is the most common fluorosis, appears as tiny white streaks or specks that are often unnoticeable. In its severe form, it is characterized by black and brown stains, as well as cracking and pitting of the teeth. The severity of dental fluorosis depends on the amount of fluoride exposure, the age of the child, individual response, and nutritional and other factors. Although water fluoridation can cause fluorosis, most of this is mild and not usually of aesthetic concern. Severe cases can be caused by exposure to water that is naturally fluoridated to levels well above the recommended levels, or by exposure to other fluoride sources such as brick tea or pollution from high fluoride coal. So what I'm basically saying is it's fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And anything that's got to do with fluoride is fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so let's go ahead and ask or answer the question why I say it's fucked up. Opposition to water fluoridation, and all this can be verified on Wikipedia.org. You know what I'm saying? Just type in fluoride and it'll pull up all these related articles. Opposition to water fluoridation refers to activism against the fluoridation of public water supplies. The controversy occurs mainly in English-speaking countries, as continental Europe does not practice water fluoridation. Although some continental countries fluoridate salt, at the recommended concentration of 0.7 to 1.2 milligrams or a liter, 0.7 for hot climate, 1.2 in cool climate, the only apparent side effect appears to be dental fluorosis. But those organizations and individuals opposed raise concerns that the intake is not easily controlled and that children, small individuals, and others may be more susceptible to health problems. Those opposed also argue that water fluoridation imposes ethical issues, may cause serious health problems, and is not effective enough to justify the cost. Opposition to fluoridation has existed since its initiation in the 1940s. 1940s, people, that's over 60 years ago. 60, 70 years ago now. During the 1950s and 1960s, some opponents of water fluoridation suggested that fluoridation was a communist plot to undermine public health. Sociologists have typically viewed opposition to water fluoridation as irrational, while critics of this position have argued that this rests on an uncritical attitude toward scientific knowledge. Basically, we can't tell you we're going to poison you motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? No, that shit's crazy, man. Let's see the ethics. Okay, many people who oppose water fluoridation consider it to be a form of compulsory mass medication. Yeah, that's what it is. Anytime you want to affect a mass amount of people, how the fuck do you do it? You can try to put it in the air, but then you might affect too many people, or not the right people. You know what I'm saying? Then you can put it in the water. You know what I'm saying? And direct it towards a certain area. You know, because if you know that this area has their own filtration system, such as Florida does and are set up with, then it will be pretty kind of easy to simply poison the water supply here by going through the actual filtration plant versus trying to poison the Gulf, you know what I'm saying, and then expect that water to come in and then get filtered, you know what I'm saying, through the system and then go out to the other side. Hold on one quick sec. Let me get something started up here. Heavenly Angel, big ups to you. Just popping in from Washington. And this is What the Fuck is in the Water Thursday, man. And, you know, I had to cover this because I'm getting sick of the dumb shit on the motherfucking news, which talking about this motherfucking, so the oil spill is just you know what I'm saying, it's just an accident. This shit is not an accident. It's a man-made problem that is purposely put in place to affect your water supply. You know what I'm saying? I'm a firm believer on this. You know, I'm not sitting here trying to blow no motherfucking conspiracy theory smoke up nobody's ass. But if you look at this shit, man, these motherfuckers done had a fucking, since 1994, they've had a contingency plan, you know what I'm saying, to thwart a possible chemical spill in the Gulf. Now, why would you have that? You know what I'm saying? Why would you already have a contingency plan? Why would you be planning on any natural disaster that is man-made? So that means you're saying one day we're going to build this machine and we're going to put it in the water. We're not going to support it. But if it does topple over, okay, we'll put some plastic fucking booms down the control. Man, how the fuck does that even sound politically correct? You know what I'm saying? And then we have this plan in effect since 1994, and then when the shit happens, we don't have any fire booms. United States of America, United States of assholes, does not own any fire booms. the fire booms was borrowed from other countries. How in the hell do you say some shit like that? Your water, and this is provided to you from the bridge from Miss Heavenly Angel. And, yeah. How many chemicals do you think is really in your water? Let's just go ahead and do one of those, count. What the fuck is going on? Right there. What is going on with this bullshit? Trying to sabotage my show. Motherfucker, you. Alright, anyway. Water in the chemicals, there's over, let's count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. All right, 39. Hold on. We got more to go. There's only 39. 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70 chemicals currently in your water. 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82. People, there are over, I ain't even finna sit up here and fucking count. You can start from A, you can start from the numbers, and then end up at A and work your way all the way through the entire alphabet till you get down to Z, to where you have zinc in your motherfucking water. Titanium is in your water. Thallium is in your water. Uranium is in your water. Triclosan, whatever the fuck that is in your water. Vanadium, uranium 234, 235, 238 is in your water. Dichloroethylene. You know, ethylene is poison. Poison is in your water, people. This is what's already in your water. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so now add the oil spill on top of that with all its motherfucking byproducts, and then what do you have then? Exactly. Natural resources. What are you guys? Fishing subsidies, mining, oil and gas, public lands. Who owns the West? Water subsidies, chemical industry, chemical index, health tips. I mean, energy choices, biofuels, nuclear waste. You know, I got to call somebody about space food. We're going to cover that today, too. Let's see what it says. America's highly industrialized city will use over 80,000 toxic chemicals every day, and over 1,000 new ones are being developed every year, and they're ending up in our water. Exactly. Acetone, you know. You got a lot of shit, man. That's why, you know, when they tell you, really don't drink out the motherfucking faucet or the water hose. But then the big controversy down here hit because you got these old fag-ass water bottling companies that started bottling up just straight up, you know what I'm saying, water. One thing you can do is go get a testing kit. You know what I'm saying? Go get a pool testing kit. That's how you test your drinking water, with a fucking pool testing kit. You know what I'm saying? Go get your water testing kit and then see how much shit is really in there. You know, it is, but at the same time, this is what I say. If you want to control the population, how do you do that? You know what I'm saying? If we can freely, you know, filter our own water, why do we need water purification facilities? You know what I'm saying? If we can really bottle our own water, why do we need to go and buy water out of the store? You know what I'm saying? Where you can basically filtrate your water out of the basic faucet, you know what I'm saying, and then pump it right into a bottle. Why do you need to go and buy a bottle of water? Why do you need to go, if you can just buy a Brita filter that you can set into the refrigerator, and then every time you pour it, it automatically filters. You know what I'm saying? What would be the need for a mass filtration system that we have? I do understand that you have to filter the water, you know what I'm saying, to soften the water that you take showers with. And this is coming from personal experience in Germany, you know, where they don't actually have a very good water filtration system installed in the country, which is one of the facts why they don't take showers but once a week. You know what I'm saying? Because of the water level, the limestone and lime buildup in the water is so heavy that it's real bad on your skin. The only reason that soldiers are able to take showers every day is because we actually have United States, you know what I'm saying, United States, built filtration system, but it has nothing to do, you know what I'm saying, with the European economy. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have anything to do with their way of life and their way of living. That's one of their biggest things that they don't do is filter their water. They don't drink the water. You don't go to a club like you can do here and ask for a cup of water, and they ask you, you want tonic or tap. And if you say tap water here, you got a 50-50 chance that you'll be all right. But if you ask for some motherfucking water in Europe, you're going to be sorely mistaken. And after consuming that water, you're going to find yourself in a bad way. You're going to find yourself with stomach pains, possible diarrhea, and other health effects. And I'm speaking... speaking because it happened to me, you know, and I drunk the water. I, fucked around, and first week in the country, I didn't heed the warning. You know, you don't really take something like that into effect when somebody say, hey, man, don't drink out of the tap. You know what I'm saying? When you're used to drinking out of the tap. So I'm in the club. First week, I'm bouncing around and everything. I get dehydrated. I need some water like any human body does. I go to order some water, and that question popped up. Do you want tap water, or do you want tonic water, or do you want bottled water? And I was like, well, fuck it, man. Just give me some tap water. You know what I'm saying? I ain't finna down tonic water. And the water was probably like 5 marks or something like that. So I'm like, fuck it, you know. Man, from the time that I sit up there and read the bottle on what the fuck they was trying to give me, and I was drinking other shit at the same time because she gave me the tonic water, I guess, just in case. So I hit the motherfucking cup. I took about three good gulps of it, and then sat there. I chilled for about 2 minutes. And 2 minutes later, I mean, it's like, I don't know what kind of effect took over me, but I could not move, I mean, like, period, unless I was on shit all over myself. I mean, my stomach went totally bubble guts, and, you know, it went totally upside down. And when I told my homeboy what happened, he was like, man, you ain't drank the water, did you? You know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, man. He's like, yeah, you might as well just chill him until the goddamn club is over with. Because there wasn't no sense, you know what I'm saying, trying to leave and shit. It was just too many people. And, so the next day, that's what he reconfirmed. He was like, hey, man, you can't be drinking the water down here. You know what I'm saying? That shit'll fuck you up. And so I didn't know that, you know what I'm saying? So he gave me some good advice on that. And to not drink the goddamn water. Let me beam somebody up in here real quick. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to the Shizzo. Y'all already nizzo. Here we go. 412. Damn. All right. Welcome to the Starship Smell of Pride.
I'm telling you, I'm
what's happening, Ethan?
Sitting minding my own business. I get beamed up there. What's going on?
Oh, well, you had your hand up, brother. You had your hand up.
Oh, I forgot. I was scratching my nose.
Yeah,
nose.
Hey, what's happening, brother?
That's funny you should bring up about this water. The day before yesterday, I drink a certain type of iced tea that I get from the store. And it is, I'll give it a name of the dairy. It's called Turner Dairy. It's here in, up here up north here in Pittsburgh. And I've been drinking it for probably 10 years faithfully. And so about 3 days ago, I cracked one open. I tasted chlorine, really strong chlorine in it. I said, man, there ain't something ain't right with my iced tea here, man. I mean, I drink it all day, every day. I know when it's good or when it's bad, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I went and I called the company up. I said, I ain't just going to sit here and take it. I'm calling them up. And I called them up, and they put me through to somebody, some guy, and he told me, he says, well, listen, he says, I'm going to come out to your house and bring you a couple jugs. I said, hey, fine with me, you know. So the next day, he calls me on the phone and says, hey, I'm in your area. I'm going to stop over and see you. So he came over to my house here, and I explained to him the situation. I said, you know, I've been drinking this iced tea for at least 10 years. I says, and this bottle here tastes nothing but chlorine in it. I said, have you had any other complaints on it? He said, no, you know. I said, well, I mean, you know, smelly, I know when something's bad, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when you taste it just from cracking open the bottle, it wasn't like I let it lay around and get warmer. I cracked that thing open, took a swig, and it was chlorine, you know. So I was.
And one bad apple does spoil the bunch. Well, that motherfucker's lying.
Well, I was surprised that nobody else called. You know what I mean? I'm sure other people tasted it, but they don't call and complain, okay? But anyway, the guy come out, explained the situation. I gave him the unused portion of the bottle. He's taking it back to his lab. He appreciated it. And he gave me 4 half gallons of iced tea. So the moral of the story is, whenever you need some free iced tea, just call Turner Dairy up and tell him you got chlorine in the water, and that gal come running out with about 4 gallon iced tea for you.
Yeah, no.
He did. He came out, and I did appreciate that, though, Smelly. That was a nice gesture, that guy, to do that.
Yeah, well, you better get used to it, because shit, the way they... Well, I don't know. You can't make tea without goddamn water, so...
Hey, he brought me down those 4 jugs, and I cracked one up when he was here. It tasted great. You know, it wasn't... I mean, they definitely had a bad batch here or something. I mean, I don't know what could have happened. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that water, heck, half of that bottle of water, you know, that stuff, they just get a tap water, they put it in a bottle, and they seal it up. You know that.
Yeah. Talking about it comes from the deepest mountains of the, man, what the fuck y'all talking about, man?
It reminds me, when I was growing up, okay, when I was growing up here, we used to have this thing we called the spring, okay? And what it was an old converted, okay, let me try to picture this. They got like an old chest-type freezer, okay? And they stuck your sucker in a stream. And it would fill up with water, and then the sediment would settle to the bottom, and then they had like a little hole in it to where the clean water would come out. Well, we would go there to this cold stream and get our water all the time. I mean, and, you know, the town I lived in checked it because they didn't want the little kids drinking anything bad, you know. And they said it was some really great water. And, you know, I drank that water all through my life, you know what I mean? So, I mean, there is a lot of places you can get good water. I mean, if you go, like if you live somewhere, I think anywhere got springs, you just have to ask some of these old people, you know, say, hey, do you know where any spring water is, you know? And maybe not down your way too much, but up north here, you know, we got the mountains, a little bit hillier thing. But there's a lot of good
water. They lied, too. They talking about Zephyr Hills. Man, that Zephyr Hills ain't nothing but some goddamn recycled fucking bottle of water.
No, I'm talking about finding some old guy, you know, some 78-year-old man that knows the area. They'll be able to tell you where a good spring is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, this is what kind of confused me, though, okay? Because, you know, California just, you know, what's the name?
Arnold
Schwartz, my nigga, and he done talking about he's against offshore drilling now. Okay, now that y'all done fucked up, you know what I'm saying? Our water, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, he jumped on board.
Fucking up our water. Right.
Sure.
So now the thing that confused me is when they showed the model of how the damn big ass tanker or whatever the fuck that big ass platform tipped over. The thing that kills me is they didn't have any kind of supports to hold the fucking thing up. That don't seem suspect, you know what I'm saying, that you would invest billions of dollars into a structure that is bigger than the goddamn little pipe that it was sitting on top of, and that you don't have any kind of four supports on any of the corners, you know what I'm saying, that would prevent it from, you know, going side to side or tipping over like it fucking did.
They should have support over support over support.
And then you got a contingency plan
since
1994.
Yep.
They have had a contingency plan since 1994. And now that the motherfucking shit has hit the fan, you all don't have the necessary equipment. Explain that one.
Well, all I know is BP better get up off some buckos and start paying everybody for this damage they got.
Man, you can't pay nobody for killing our natural resource. You can't.
I know
what I'm saying? They're doing that intentionally, bro. It's population control at its finest, man. I mean, first y'all, you know, motherfuckers didn't really pay attention to fluoride being in your water, but now look at it. Now you got fluoride in your baby's nursery water. Go to Walmart and look at the shelves. You know what I'm saying? You never seen that before.
You know they put fluoride in the water, right?
Right. So I'm saying, but it's too okay. I just read that it's to a certain point though. I'm saying if it only affects children from 1 to 4 years old.
Well, you feel me? Yeah,
it ain't really it's not a real big thing on us because our body has built up an immunity to it. But from 1 to 4 years old, your kids are getting it, okay, now they're getting it from in the store because you're feeding it to them in the baby nursery water. Okay, then you're feeding it to them in just the regular water, and then you're brushing their teeth with fluoride toothpaste.
Yeah, but don't you know that the water treatment plants put fluoride in the water, so kids, for your teeth, that was what the fluoride is for.
Go ahead.
No, it was for your teeth to make sure that kids would get some fluoride. The kids that didn't brush their teeth and stuff like that, the government made sure that they were getting their fluoride to keep their teeth strong. You didn't know that? I'm being serious. You didn't know that? You think, hey,
man,
did Natalie put fluoride in there? They put
how can you measure that? How can you test that against a population of such vast people?
They've been doing that for 50 years, putting fluoride in the water.
Since 1940.
Right.
Since 1940, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. So what's your point? I don't understand what you mean.
1940. Yeah. It's poison. They've been poisoning the water since 1940.
Well, I mean, you could call it poison, but, I mean, a lot of scientists said that it saved a lot of kids' teeth.
Right.
At low levels now. I don't know if they, if some higher levels of fluoride and some different chemicals got in it, but I'm only talking about fluoride, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing of fluoride, man, is as many uses that it's used for, you know what I'm saying? Besides just the last resort of saving tooth decay, which is, you know what I'm saying, neither here or there, because you're always going to have a opposite and equal reaction to everything. Good or bad thing, you know what I'm saying? Somebody always gonna have something to say, you know what I'm saying, about that. Oh well, it doesn't taste sweet enough, you know what I'm saying? Or you know, somebody gonna have some dumb fuck question that you really ask about that. In fact, hold on, let's make some calls, man. We get to the bottom of this shit. And then we're gonna call the city of Tampa Water Department and let's see if we can get these guys on the line. Hold on a second. Call up some fucking officials, man. Let's call up some officials, all right? Tampa Water Department. I need to speak to somebody getting high in the food chain, all right? High in the food chain. All right, hold on. What the fuck happened?
All right.
County Water Resource Services. Our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. For quality assurance purposes, Your call may be monitored and or recorded. Para escuchar este mensaje en español, oprime uno. For automated account information or to make a payment by credit card, please call 276-8526 or visit our website at hillsboroughcounty.org. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it at any time. To speak with a customer service representative, press 2. To reach a receptionist, press 3. Or for a dial-by-name directory, press 9.
Wait while I transfer your call.
Thank you for holding.
Hillsborough County Water, may I help you?
Yes. I'm trying to speak with somebody in reference to the current oil spill that's hitting our waters.
Uh-huh.
Trying to figure out how's that going to affect us here in Hillsborough County.
Okay, let me put you through to Michelle Van Dyke. He's our media person.
Okay, okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is that music playing?
Hello?
I was locating that number. Okay, transferring you now.
Sir. Oh, okay.
That music's loud, Smelly.
Oh, yeah, it's all right.
Is this Michelle?
Okay. Hey, Michelle, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How can I help you?
All right. Just got a couple questions for you. I'm a citizen of Hillsborough County. And with the recent oil spill right off the Gulf, I'm just trying to wonder how is that going to affect us here in Hillsborough County?
Well, actually, I'm not the person to ask. I can tell you just from press releases that I have looked at that there is a joint command that has been activated. Let me see what I got here.
Okay.
I can give you some.
Because as far as, you know, as at least as far as Tampa, we sit on top of an aquifer.
Yes, sir.
So are we like in direct path of having that affected?
Well, the aquifer is not impacted by seawater. If it were, it would be useless as a drinking water source.
Right.
So that's for instance, that's the problem that Pinellas County has. They have a lot of brackish water. Let me see what we have here. If you're concerned about drinking water, again, the only source that pulls from seawater is Tampa Bay Water's desalination plant. And you would have to contact them directly about how it might impact the drinking water they produce. But they have membranes and filters, and if it's not adequate enough to take the oil out, they'll simply shut the plant down.
Wow.
Is what would typically happen. But you can get more information by calling Tampa Bay Water. I mean, they're the only – I mean, as far as drinking water, and that's what our utility handles is drinking water.
Right, right.
That's the only thing that could be impacted in terms of Hillsborough County's drinking water sources. But as far as other sources, you know what a real good agency to ask is the Environmental Protection Agency. Hillsborough County's Environmental Protection Commission, the EPC.
EPC.
Yeah, let me give you their telephone number.
Yeah, mine.
They're the best. They're going to be the best local source of information. I have
627-2600.
Let me verify that phone number for you. And I know that our Emergency Operations Center has not been activated yet. Yeah, let me get you some good telephone numbers here. Actually, I saw a press release yesterday. Let me see if I can find it for you. Hang on just a second.
Yeah, I've been, you know, trying to stay on the news, but you can't believe everything you read or see
true.
In the headlines.
Unified Command activated for West Coast of Florida. There are several telephone numbers for reporting oiled wildlife, submitting a claim, submitting your vessel as a vessel of opportunity, skimming system. In response to the possibility of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill affecting the west coast of Florida, representatives from BP, the U.S. Coast Guard, and the Florida Department of Environmental Protection are meeting to plan a multi-agency response. Working together, the agencies have reviewed the area contingency plan and ensured all partners have access to and are familiar with the plan. Meetings over the last couple of days, the Coast Guard and Florida DEP have spoken with trustees from various national and state wildlife refuge areas, along with every county emergency management office on the west coast of Florida. The agencies also met with over 30 members of non-governmental environmental organizations, including Tampa Bay Watch, Save Our Seabirds, Sarasota Bay Estuary Program, and Sierra Club. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It looks like the Florida Department of Environmental Protection is handling most of the response. A local arm to ask, as I said again, would be Hillsborough County's Environmental Protection Commission.
Right.
Now let me get you a telephone number. Again, let me verify that telephone number for you.
I want to ask you a quick question now. Are you aware that there was an actual contingency plan in place?
I can't speak to that. It's not my area of expertise.
Because I had actually read that, and it just kind of, I've just been asking general people, because it's kind of confusing to me how, since 1994, we've had an actual contingency plan for something. It might not even be as drastic as this, but this, I don't see how you can get any more drastic.
Yeah, I agree.
And then when it actually hits the fan, everybody's running around like, they don't know what to do. The chicken head, like a chicken with the head cut off, like, what do we do?
I think in this particular case, and this is just simply speculation on my part, because, except for that one single press release that came to me through official channels, 99.9% of my information has been gained from watching the news myself.
Yeah, the media.
And, for just purely speculation, if what the news is saying is right, it sounds to me like this is an unprecedented event, that they had all kinds of fail-safe systems in place, and every single one of them failed.
Ain't no
including,
way.
and apparently it was one of the newer rigs too.
That's what I'm saying. We've been drilling offshores for years, just not in our waters. But
there you go. We never had an event.
It's never been in our waters.
This will much torpedo some plans to continue to do so in the future, I would think. But anyway, yeah, I'm like you. I'm in the same boat as you are. We deal with water, but we deal with drinking water, not with bay water. And the only thing that it would impact bay water wise, and I would suspect it depends on tidal currents and whether it would ever even get into Tampa Bay. But as far as drinking water, the only thing that would be affected would be Tampa Bay Water's desal plant, which is sitting there on Tampa Bay at Apollo Beach.
Right off the beach there. All right. Well, hey, thank you very much for all your help.
It wasn't much, as I said. It's not our agency. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm just beyond distressed at the thing.
Well, all I can tell you is stock up on your bottled water, because
my boyfriend's already saying, look at diesel and other different kinds of cars. He says he's absolutely convinced this is just going to make prices skyrocket.
They've been saying, probably by summertime it's going to be one of the worst summers you're probably going to be experiencing, because you're not going to be able to hit the beach like you want to.
Yes.
Okay, and then at the same time, that's what they're going to blame. They're going to blame that this one oil rig is the cause for all of our gas going up, which is asinine to even think of that.
Yep.
Because before this pump, which has only been in operation less than a year, it's no way that it could have showed, any kind of help or help in our fuel. And our fuel hasn't went down to $2, with this new oil pump. So what is the point of the new oil pump?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I'm going to call the Tampa EPA because I do want to get some
EPC,
more. EPC.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure somebody can give me some other phone numbers and good stuff like that. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate all your assistance.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
All righty then. Oh, people.
Well, she wasn't too bad. She was pretty good information.
Make sure we're clear. And see, sometimes now everybody know I'm down for making prank calls, but this is just not a situation where I really want to try to get funny with anybody. Because this shit is really pissing me off, and I'm like the only, out of all the listeners here, I'm directly impacted by what the fuck is going on.
Well, it sounds like she was interested in what you were saying. I mean, she, was definitely she was upset about the about the 1994 no repairs been done to it or nothing's been done to it since then.
Come on, bro, this is that. And then like I'm saying, there is no fucking way that you finna tell me that gas prices is going up just because of this one funky ass fucking the shit. There's no fucking
up
way.
Here. There'll be prices going up up here in Pittsburgh. Florida.
And what is that? What does that have? That one oil pump versus all these other oil pumps that are still pumping out in the wherever the fuck they set up at. You know what I'm saying? They have never failed.
It's an escape.
You know,
come on. It's an escape goat to raise prices.
Come on. And poison your water supply, which will do what? That's the way we can control your resource. They're trying to control your resources. That's why your food is imported. That's why you can't grow no motherfucking your own gardens and shit like we used to do back in the days. It's laws against that. You know what I'm saying? Everything is leading up to population control.
A good political cartoon, Smelly, would be the price of gas up to like $6 a gallon, and you got the president of the oil company with a hacksaw on one of them legs on that oil platform sawing it off.
Man,
you know?
Hey, I'm trying to tell you, and that's, oh man, if I was an artist, I would have to draw that because that is so true, man. That is so. No, but it ain't even that. The damn platform was just on one stilt. It was just built on a single stilt. I mean, this is what I'm saying. If it has, if you have a massive platform that has four sides to it, you know what I'm saying, and it's built on top of water, you should have stilts on all four corners of this platform.
Well, that would cost four times as much.
Well, look at here, public health at the expense. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. They put a dollar figure on that. They says, well, one stake is going to cost $20 million. Four of them is going to cost $100.
Man, this is. I'm going to call the Tampa
the
EPC though.
Yeah,
I want to talk to the big people, man. I want to see what the fuck y'all really talking about, because somebody knows something. You feel me? And what's going to end up happening is somebody's not going to want to talk about it. So that's when you know you're onto something, because then they'll dump you off onto somebody else, and then that person. And once you know that you're getting the runaround, you know something ain't right.
Well, I'd like to hear somebody saying what is the, like you said, the contingency plan as far as if their water plants do get shut down, what's going to happen? Where do we get our water at? What's going to go on here?
Man, all right. So let's call them up, man. Hold on one second. Let's get a call. This is the Tampa EPC. Let's give them a call.
Environmental Protection Commission. If you know your party's extension number, you may enter it any time during this message. For the company directory, please press pound or remain on the line, and your call will be answered momentarily. Thank you.
Assistance is just a moment away.
Environmental Protection Commission.
Yes. I'm trying to speak with somebody in reference to the recent oil spill that's happened off in the Gulf. I'm a Hillsborough County resident, and I have some general questions.
Okay. Hold on, sir. I'll transfer your call to Eric Lesnick.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
ECHC.org. Someone will be right with you.
Hello, this is Eric. May I help you?
Hey, Eric. How you doing today?
Pretty good. Is that Earl?
Oh, no, sir. I guess I sound like Earl. actually, no, I'm just a concerned citizen living here in Hillsborough County.
Oh, okay.
And,
I just sent an email to Earl. That's why I went.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, I ain't calling back that quick.
Okay.
I got a question, man. As far as I'm just concerned as far as Hillsborough County, how are we directly affected, or are we directly affected by what's going on in the Gulf?
Well, you're a citizen of Hillsborough County?
Yes. I stay right here in Tampa.
Okay, great. Well,
right by the airport.
Okay. Well, hopefully we will not be affected by an oil spill as such. If and when the material does get here, it would be very degraded crude oil.
Okay,
weather, they'd call it. And what you'd see would be more in the line of tar balls and maybe tar patties kind of thing. What you're seeing right now up in the Gulf with the orange strands of of stuff on the water. It's sort of turning orange from the dispersants they put on it. But that's more viscous. That's more liquidish than what
than
we
actual
what
thick
we
crude oil.
Well, it is crude. But it's Louisiana light crude, and it is liquid at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
But after it's traveled as far as it has to get to us, it would be pretty weathered. You know, the way it weathers is the it loses all the lighter ends, the acutely toxic portions, which would be like the stuff they make gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel out of. And that stuff will evaporate. What it leaves is the lower ends, which are more along the fractions of asphalt and tar and stuff like that, and which isn't as toxic to organisms. Now, if it's still sticky, it may still be a toxicity problem to things like birds and turtles,
right?
Because the birds would get it on their feathers. If it stuck to them, they'd preen themselves and ingest it, and that could clog their esophagus. It could cause problems. Turtles, same thing, but because they might think it's a jellyfish of sorts.
Yeah,
you know?
And try to eat it. Yeah,
right. And plus,
wow.
they have to come up to breathe, and they can have problems out there where it is now, where it's still liquid, and they have to come through that liquid layer. If they're catching a fish at the surface or something that they might eat, they might ingest some of that spill as it is today. But as far as Hillsborough County goes,
wow.
What in actuality, we're kind of protected by both the loop current, which may take it south of us, and we're protected by the wide shelf.
Hmm.
So
compared to everybody else, we're sitting pretty high. I'm really concerned because we're the only ones that have the aquifer that the entire city is sitting upon.
Right. Well, the aquifer shouldn't be endangered at all. Okay. What is endangered is surface waters that are connected to the Gulf. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what washes up on shore, kind of thing.
Right. So is
the
beaches?
It's a saltwater. Yeah. Beaches, marshes, mangrove forests, things like that would be at risk. Water intakes that are out there exposed to it when it's still in a liquid form would be at risk because they would have to shut them down, whether it's a power plant or a desal plant or whatever. As I was saying, with the degraded material that might make it this far, in order for it to get here, you have to think about logistics, first of all. The loop current, if you've seen anything in the paper or the news showing how it works, it sort of comes up from the Yucatan Peninsula, the pass there between it and Cuba. And it goes up towards Louisiana and makes a right-hand turn and then makes a southern turn and goes back down to the Straits of Florida and back around the East Coast and up the East Coast all the way past New England.
Right.
So it joins into the Gulf Stream. That's how it gets up there.
Right.
But it's so far offshore of us. Luckily, they have not permitted drilling on our shelf here like some of the politicians.
Trying to work on it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so the fact that it's offshore of the shelf, that's where the current is. So the current is our friend. Okay.
Wow.
And for it to get from there to here, even if the current took it southward, so it'd be west of us and possibly southwest of us as it's going by, it would take a prolonged wind event to bring it ashore. You know, like a week of tropical storm or a week of hurricane blowing westerly, you know, right to the east. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not anticipated at this time, unless that type of event happens, that and with it sitting in the right place in the loop current at the time to get to here. Now, if and when it does come here, who knows? We might get tarballs for a couple years, depending
wow.
on how long the spill goes on.
Yeah, because I don't believe that Jack in the Box story. We can put a box or whatever crap they done concocted in.
Who knows? Go for whatever might work.
I'm like, come on.
It might work. It made it kind of work in shallower situations. Is the biggest thing going against them there. They're a mile deep, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it has.
They've used it in shallower situations, less than 1,000 feet kind of thing, I think, and it's worked fine. But I can't even be sure of that. I can't read enough material myself in the time I got, you know.
Yeah.
I'm getting bombarded with phone calls and all everything.
Yeah. Now, did you know, because I just from this happening, you know, I've typed in poison water, all this kind of crap. You know, the internet throw you a million things,
uh-huh.
Results back. One of them popped up about a contingency plan.
Uh-huh. Right.
That was actually even developed in 1994.
Right. I can talk to you on that.
Yeah, just in case something like this happens. So, I mean,
right.
What happened?
Well, no, it doesn't mean things can't happen.
Right.
It's a contingency plan is what are you going to do when it happens?
Okay. So
that's what a contingency
plan
is. You know, we always plan on a worst case and lesser cases scenarios. So even in that plan, we have a moderate risk scenario up to a worst case scenario. And back when we had the 3-vessel collision in the mouth of the bay,
right,
in 93,
right,
I worked on it. We had just finished that contingency plan, and that was in response to Exxon Valdez spill.
Oh.
That was a nationwide effort. The legislature, the federal legislature, passed a law in 1990 called OPA 90. That would stand for the Oil Spill Protection Act. Okay. And oil spill, all one word, Protection Act, OPA.
Yeah.
So OPA 90 required that to happen. So then every captain of every port, which is has an area of responsibility, ours at the time was out of Tampa before they moved it over to St. Pete, and that area of responsibility covers from the Fenn Holloway River up in Big Bend, way up north part of the east part of the Panhandle, all the way down to Cape Romano near Everglades City. So that whole section of West Florida is covered by the Sector St. Pete, they call it now. It used to be called MSO Tampa, but now it's Sector St. Pete. So the captain of the port who's in charge there, he is the federal on-scene coordinator for a spill in that area. And right now they have 4 of those area commands set up and running. Houston is set up, and they're handling the actual wellhead area. Louisiana and Mobile are handling their respective areas for preparation and response and all of that kind of thing.
And as far as like
let me get to that plan. You asked me a question that really opens up a
ball
of bees here. Try to give you some faith in our plan. That first plan was finished and had been submitted, and the admiral down in Miami approved it, so it was on the shelf ready to use when that 93 spill happened. So we had people coming in from Mobile and Miami, the strike forces from the Coast Guard, who weren't familiar with this area. And they felt pretty familiar with the area by finding all that information we had in our plan. Because one of the things I do in that planning is I collect scientific data, spill-sensitive shoreline data, and things like that from all the experts that collect that stuff. And I funnel it to the guys that built the plan. It's a digital plan now. It's actually it's on the web if you wanted to go look at it.
Mm.
And what it has is all these maps of the areas where all the endangered critters and habitats and other sensitive entities may be, whether it's, an intake or a state park. Everything has its priority. There's like 3 levels of priority. The top level is the one to be protected first with resources as far as they go.
Mm-hmm.
If there's still resources left, then you go to the next priority. And that all depends on which way the oil's going. So in working this ACP, they call it the Area Contingency Plan, they run models, NOAA, National Atmospheric and Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I'm terrible with acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they have models, computer models, that you can plug in the type of oil product it is, how much has been released, to plug in the real-time weather and currents, and they can tell you pretty much where that oil is going to go. Okay, so they take that information, throw it into the ACP's mapping information, and they can see what are those sensitive areas that are endangered. And so they're not wasting resources protecting things where the oil ain't going to go there. You know,
yeah.
They can go where it's predicted to go, and it's pretty darn accurate, and they can use their resources, however slim or expensive they may be, to protect the right things as best we can. So that can help us out by saving our natural resources. It can even help out the responsible party by him not having to spend all those billions there and spending billions where it's needed the most.
Right.
So, you know, and the actual incident command center where they run these area commands, so to speak, is usually set up with 3 people involved. So it's a decision that can be made fairly readily with not too many thousand voices in the room. You got three people. You got
the government.
It is exactly the government. You got your federal on-scene coordinator, who's the captain of the port. His career is on the line. You got the state on-scene coordinator. That's a guy from the Bureau of Emergency Response for the DEP. He's sitting there, and then you got your responsible party, who's got the checkbook.
Right.
Okay, so those three people. They're in charge of making the decisions. Then they got all this whole pyramid of people underneath them feeding them information. And the people running this ACP are sitting right in the room there running their computers, bringing up the most current information as it's needed. As the Coast Guard does overflights and takes locations of the actual sightings of the oil, they can funnel them back and pour it into that computer program. They have people out there testing things with chemical testing and stuff to see what the, how concentrated the product may be, all that kind of stuff. That can be fed back to the same thing. So it's a real beehive when it's running. But it's also well organized, and it's set up way ahead of time. They use a structure called the Incident Command System, or structure or something, like ICS. And it's basically a hierarchy that dictates who does what, who's in charge of what, and it keeps the amount of people under each person limited so that it's doable. And it's a pyramid. It has a huge base, but all that information is kept under control, and you know where you spent your resources, you know exactly where they are, when to move them, and all that kind of thing. So it's an amazing machine when it's running.
Man, you sound like the government.
Well, I am the government, but I'm just a county. I'm a local guy.
Man, that sounds like the way the government is running, man.
Well, that's the thing. You got to plan for the worst and hope for the best, like I think I heard the captain say the other day.
Let me ask you something. Do you know what congressman or senator is responsible for Florida in dealing with this situation? I guess as far as us having a...
It's Charlie right now.
Oh, yeah, he's still the man. Yeah.
He's the man. And the senators are still trying to convince the other senators in the country to not drill here. And the fact that we've kept it off that shelf is going to help us out in the long run. There were people proposing drilling within 10 miles of shore. You could have seen the rig, ten miles you can see on the flat.
But
let alone the fact that one good blow from a little afternoon gale would bring it ashore,
But this is the only thing I'm trying to figure out. In the construction of that oil rig, the picture that they showed on the news, how it just toppled over.
Well, it's a floating vessel. It's on the surface.
Oh, so it's not. I'm thinking
it's not a mile. It's not a mile tall tower.
Yeah.
No, it's a. Think of it as a big old barge floating platform. So it's anchored. It probably had a tether or two that went down somewhere to a dead man type anchor.
But it was actually floating, though.
It's floating. And that tube or pipeline that went from the wellhead up to it was somewhat flexible. So, storms go by, it could take a hit. There's a bunch of that type of thing out there on the Gulf. In fact, they're even proposing as the ships get bigger and bigger and bigger, they're getting harder and harder to take into ports to get to the refineries, the ones that are bringing oil from around the world. And they're talking about having docking stations out there that are very similar to that. And so instead of the floating platform getting oil from the sediment at the bottom of the sea, they'll be offloading it from these big tankers and piping it ashore in a very similar manner.
So you kind of cut down on the ship's needs for the big ships anyway.
Yeah. The big ships will still be used. In fact, they'll even get bigger because they don't have to go into a tight little port like coming up Tampa Bay's channel.
You know
how hard they run aground regularly because they're getting to be too big to get a good sideways wind blowing, and the channel's only 400 feet across, and then you're in 15 feet of water.
Yeah, that's why we getting stuck, man.
Yeah, then you have to wait for a high tide and a couple dozen tractor tugs to get him off.
To push you out, And that whole time, all the oil is sitting there.
Just hoping you don't breach a hull, Even with the double hulls,
it's always a possibility.
It's a worry, yeah.
Yeah, anytime you're dealing with
I said with our history there with that biggest spill we had up till now, the 93 spill, that did 14 miles of shoreline once it blew back to shore.
Oh, I've seen that. I mean, that was...
That pretty
man.
Much was just like our worst-case scenario we had written up in the manual, except that we were lucky it blew out to sea first.
Yeah, and the fire booms, that's a...
The fire booms are different than a normal containment boom that you'd see around, or even a little turbidity boom you'd see where they're doing some mucking around in a ditch or something,
mm-hmm.
or on a lake. They have a floating collar like that, those little yellow booms you see. But the fire booms tend to be taller, and they're more of a ceramic-type material that can withstand the heat. And I don't know how far their curtains go down. Now, that's a big trouble with booms is you get too much current, and the product can get pushed under it.
Wow.
You know, depending on how low in the water it's sitting.
I mean, a fire boom, it's floating on top of the water, but it's actually deep in the water, isn't it?
Yeah, there is a curtain with a...
But instead of, there's no way to recycle the oil.
Not that, no. That's just to get rid of it. You already got way too much to even try to skim up. I mean, it's just another tool in a toolbox to try to get rid of it. And if you can burn it off, you see, you only have a short window of opportunity to use dispersants or burn. After that, once it weathers too much, you can't burn that crap, and you can't.
Ain't no way to
clean
it up.
You can't use dispersants on it. You can still try to skim it up if it's mousse on the surface. You know, they call it mousse once it starts looking like a degraded chocolate pudding. You know.
Yeah, that's what they were showing now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that, as long as it's on the surface, you can always try to skim it. But once it gets weathered too much, it'll start sinking. And it'll come in, like I said, we could have tar balls rolling in for years like we had with that spill we had here. We still got some tar balls on the Pinellas beaches for a few years after that. They still found some buried in the blind pass the next time they dredged it.
What?
Like a parfait out there. You got a layer of sand on top of oil on top of layer of sand on top of oil on top of...
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's kind of nasty to be digging up. And what was that link so I can look at the model?
Okay, let me get down here so I don't lie to you. You got a computer so you can get on the web? Okay, great.
I mean, I'm telling you, I got friends, man. As far as residents, we pissed off because
we're
the first ones going to be getting affected. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree.
About what's
going on. We're all people here. Aren't
yeah,
you know,
man.
We're the ones that take it sometimes where we don't want to take it.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just a second here. I got to find a place where I have it printed out so I can see it. Let me see. Who did I send that to last? Okay, here it is. http://, that's the ones that lean to the right,
mm-hmm.
ocean, that's OCEAN, dot Florida Marine, all one word, that's FLORIDAMARINE, dot ORG. / AC P / SPAC, and there's a / after that, but I don't know if that's necessary.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary.
So if you type that into your browser window, it should take you there. If not, just go...
probably Google Florida Marine or something like that?
Yeah, Google Florida Marine or Google Tampa Bay ACP.
Tampa Bay ACP. I'm actually online.
But this one should work as I gave it to you.
Oh, here we go. Sector St. Petersburg Digital Aerial Contingency Plan.
You got big blue screen?
Wow.
You're there. Okay. Now, if you don't have GIS, which I wouldn't expect you to because it's an expensive software...
Okay.
You can still go to the maps page, which is where I put my input into that I collect from all the scientists up
there. Oh, okay,
the
here
coast.
We go. Uh-huh.
And you'll see three or four different types of maps there. The historical maps are what we used to use. They were black and white things that we could fax to people. And every little square on that coastline is a separate map with a couple pages of data behind it. Some have more data than others. Some of them don't have enough data. Then there's a new one next to it that's a PDF documents doing the same thing those old black and white ones do. So
right.
That'd be the new GRP maps. And that's new Adobe format, so everybody's getting to where they get a free copy of Adobe Reader. They can open those.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the right of that, you'll see the ESI maps, which are the Environmental Sensitivity Index. And that's a mapping system set up by the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, those FEDS scientists. That it has all the shoreline-type data and habitat data. And that's they're kind of hard to use unless you have a copy of the page of the index showing the coloration of the shoreline while you're looking at it, or else you have to keep going back to another screen to see the index, the legend, so to speak. But anyway, that's kind of stuff that we have there. Now, when they're actually running the ACP to respond to the spill, they're not looking at those maps per se. They may fax one of those maps out to somebody in the field or email it to them on a laptop out there in the field.
Right.
But in reality, they're using all the data that's behind that in their geographical information system. So they're making maps with all the data that's there behind those hard copy maps, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then they can bring in the oil spill trajectories and all the other up-to-date data from the flyovers and stuff. They can stick that all in there on top of them in new layers and see if a turtle nesting area is in danger, or a bird nesting area, or a shoreline, or just what. Or this pass is gonna get oil slammed up its chute. Then you might want to run out and do some deflection booming there, even though the current's kind of stiff. You might be able to deflect a lot of the oil to a local beach instead of into the mangroves and things like that.
And then just clean the beach up.
Yeah, the beach is easier to clean. Seawall's easier to clean. That is, you can kill the mangroves, and they may not come back for 60 years to get back to the point of habitat that they are at this time.
Yeah.
You may lose a population of animals or fish or something from this season. But
and that's what, that's
you, they'll, about, co- they'll come back faster than the
than
the habitat will.
Oh, okay.
So, you may lose one generation, but there's still plenty of source for pioneering that population again from the adjacent waters that weren't affected.
Right. Now, is this supposed to cause, like, seafood prices and all that to skyrocket?
Oh, God, man, you know how it'll probably raise our oil prices, too. You know what I mean?
I was just wondering about that, Chris.
The governor is supposed to stop this type of stuff, like in hurricanes, where they don't jack up gas prices so you can evacuate. What do they call that procedure where the guys are ripping you off?
Price gouging.
There you go. I couldn't think of that.
Price gouging.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody would be price gouging on seafood. Somebody would be price gouging on gasoline because, we just lost all that source oil.
And then, but what?
Where do they come off doing that?
Where is that? What does that even mean, though? Because the old pump has been in operation for how long? This new one.
Yeah.
It's been what? Less than a year.
What?
The new pump that is just the one that just toppled over.
Oh, I'm not sure how long. I'm not. It's a rather new one. I know.
Yeah, it's fairly new. So I mean, I don't see how. By its being just started inactive, how can it really show the impact, of our gas prices going down?
Well, I'll give you my personal opinion on that, though, so don't quote my agency or anything. The way I see it is I almost lost my train of thought there. I must be saying something bad.
The truth is
my opinion is that the bottleneck is at the refinery. Whether they're getting the oil from the Gulf, from overseas, from Venezuela, or whatever, most of it's still refined on our shores. And when they had a couple refineries get knocked down in Katrina, I don't know that they've replaced them.
Wow.
So no matter how much they're producing, I don't know that we'd even
see
the bump on the line.
Yeah,
because
we don't
have
the refineries to even make the difference.
Yeah, and that's it. And it seems like some of those things would be controlling price more than anything. They can only refine it so fast with the refineries available.
Right. So if you only got 10 ships in the harbor, but you only got two refineries to refine all the oil.
You know, I know that if we shut our port because oil was imminent out there and we couldn't let the ships come in, and first of all, they'd be dragging the oil with it.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have to set up a washing station or something, which is very expensive. We're talking millions there probably. I think they had to do it in Louisiana for Katrina.
Wow.
But if we had to stop that oil, Central Florida would be running out of different petroleum products within 4 days.
Wow.
We got about a 3 day supply. And then you have to start worrying about hospitals, emergency diesel bunkers, and things like that. So, you know, it's a industry that they will bust their butt to keep it coming in because everybody needs it, me and everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a tough thing. We're as much of a problem as anything because we have the demand.
Yeah.
You know, just like some other things in our life today, you know, it's because of us. You know, if everybody quit driving tomorrow,
you know,
the auto industry would fail, the gas and oil industry would fail.
But then,
it'd be a cleaner earth.
Yeah,
you know?
I was going to say, but then you got electric cars.
Well, you have to get it developed.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole killer. It's just the development.
Yeah.
And
so it's the lobbying interests that keep things status quo, and you know, you have to get people to start living a different lifestyle.
Yeah, well, man, if this don't affect them, I mean, hell, you can't go to the goddamn beach. You know, what you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you know, when I get there, I always feel like, well, I'm glad I came out whether it was raining or not.
I'm telling you, because you never know when's your last time. I talked to a friend, she was like, yeah, I just came from the beach. I'm like, from the beach for what? Because, I mean, you know the situation. I might not be able to get to go tomorrow. I'm like.
Yeah, it's like the red tide, you know. It ruins it for you.
Man, that is.
So what was your name, sir?
My name is David.
Okay, David, I appreciate you calling.
Hey, I thank you, man, because I've just been trying to get to the bottom of this, and I don't like people, you know, this is what I do, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so when a friend asks me, because I always keep my ears to the streets and to the headlines.
Well, how'd you get my name?
Actually, I'm just online, just filtering around.
Oh, God, my name's out there.
No, this is from... I had called another agency though. I called the Tampa Water Department.
Oh, okay.
And they was like, well, and the lady who runs that, she was like, well, really, you need to speak with the Tampa EPC, and they will have more information.
So you just called the agency and they
Yeah. Not directly to you.
I just want to know how exposed I was.
But I mean, you provided more information because when I mentioned the contingency plan to her, she never heard of it.
Yeah, well, you know, people have said I'm full of it, so.
hey, you're full of good information, brother. I mean, all right. And I thank you very much, man. Have a great day, all right?
You too, David.
All right, brother. Yeah, to get out my government name on that one, people. You know, I didn't want to leak out the DJ smell so good. You know what I'm saying? All right. Easy, you still there? Hello?
Hot Sex Magazine, KCGT, and Knock Hard Entertainment presents 12 dance crews competing for a $2,000 prize. Hip-hop, crunk, and dancehall. It's all happening Saturday, May 22nd from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Reggie Lewis Athletic Center, 1350 Tremont Street in Boston. There will be celebrity judges and performances.
Hold up, don't forget. Russell Ferguson, Ernest Enoch Phillips, Status Quo, Ricardo Foster Jr., Anna Rockefeller Garcia, Hot Steps Dance Crew, YBS, and United Styles Crew.
All on Saturday, May 22nd at the Reggie Lewis Athletic Center, 1350 Tremont Street in Boston, New England. Don't miss this event. For tickets and info, call 617-233-3631.
HotStepsMagazine.com.
Hip-hop, crunk, dancehall, and much more. Saturday, May 22nd. All brought to you by... Steps Magazine, the hottest dance competition in New England.
Yeah. Hey, big ups, man, to first of all, the you know, the Tampa Water Department, you know what I'm saying? I don't need to even remember names, but, you know, big ups to the female who, you know what I'm saying, wasn't scared to talk about this issue, man. And one thing that you will find out in this type of issue is yeah, like he said, you know, he didn't really want to say anything kind of incriminate. But see, that at the same time, that's why I didn't come at him, you know, like a radio show host, because then he would have been like, oh, well, he's coming at me like the media, and I have to watch what I have to say. You know what I'm saying? And that ain't what I want. You know what I'm saying? I want you to answer the questions like I'm asking them. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I needed them answered. And that's what he did. You know what I'm saying? So big ups to Mr. Eric. Thank you very much for that. That information, that was like way more than what the fuck I ever expected. And you know, if you all ever want to check out the you know, the reference material that he provided, go to once again http /ocean.floridamarine.org. That's FloridaMarine.org, with the /ACP/ST, and you have to capitalize all of these letters, ACP, /STPACP/MAPF, and you can actually, you know, you have to type in the maps, just put in STPACP, and it should pull up. If not, I think you might have to type in the maps too. Let me make sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's all you have to do. And you can check out that info, man. And the info will link you to Geographic Response Plan and Environmental Sensitivity Index maps. You know, so you can check out pre-identified sensitive areas. You can get contact information, management agencies that have, you know, a little stake in the region and stuff. Yeah, and it's a lot of information on here, man. It's a lot of information. You can get different documents on the actual contingency plan. Matter of fact, let me see if I can actually read it. Damn, they actually have the contingency plan, so I want to read it briefly. You know what I'm saying? And I'd like to say big ups to Easy Rider, Side Knight, and Heavenly Angel. You know what I'm saying? For keeping by, standing by the show, man. You know what I'm saying? While we, you know what I'm saying, going in on it. And yeah, that was it's past interesting, people. But the truth will goddamn help set you free. And that was a direct concern, you know what I'm saying, with myself. You know what I'm saying, was that major issue, man. Was like, hey, you know, how is that directly going to affect us, you know what I'm saying, here in you know what I'm saying, here in Tampa, in Florida, because I'm telling you, people, this shit is right off, you know what I'm saying, like I don't go to the beach, but shit, that shit is, like, there, you know what I'm saying. And they do have a record of the contingency plan, which is a downloadable PDF file where you can look at it over. And this is what it says as the introduction. In response to Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska, the United States government quickly enacted. Hold on, let me. Wow, not that big. Wait. Not that fucking big. Zoom out too. Okay, here we go. Damn. In response to the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska, what the fuck is going on, man? All right, go over and shit. Okay. United States government quickly enacted legislation to specifically address many of the deficiencies identified in the response system at that time. These included a lack of a unified effort between local, state, and federal stakeholders, no common defined response structure, federal, state, or local, poor information management to the press, public, and other affected parties, and minimal information exchange between all parties. The development of the ACP through the Area Committee is essential in addressing and rectifying these issues. The Area Contingency Plan is a plan prepared by the Area Committee, AC, that is developed to be implemented in conjunction with the National Contingency Plan, the NCP, and the Regional Contingency Plan, the RCP, to address removal of oil and hazardous substances. The boundary of the area this plan covers includes those areas within the jurisdiction of the U.S. Coast Guard Sector St. Petersburg. The area contingency planning process is based on the premise that proper planning is essential to a safe and effective response. In keeping with the Coast Guard commander's motto, preparation equals performance, the area committee seeks to enhance the response community's ability to successfully mitigate substantial threats or actual incidents during an effective and coordinated planning process. The purpose of the plan is to define roles, responsibilities, resources, and procedures necessary to respond to a myriad of spill response evolutions. It is important to note that the ACP is a plan for use in responding to an incident. Information found in the plan relating to such items as response resources should not be viewed as performance standards. These are planning criteria. These are planning criteria based on a set of assumptions that may not exist during an actual incident, i.e., is this here? Wow. 2,000 command, 3,000 operations. Section 4,000 is planning, 5,000 is logistics, 6,000 is finance. These all are the various sections that make up this this entire network of individuals that have actually concocted this plan. You have finance, hazardous materials, the marine firefighting, and then you have the final section with the appendices section. So that's all the intro, man, on the ACP 2009, the Area Contingency Plan, which was concocted for the sector of St. Petersburg, and this was effective January 2009. And a year later, look what happened. You know what I'm saying? We get hit with a goddamn oil spill, and yeah, and this is the effect. You know what I'm saying? So we can get into a little song, man. We got like 10 minutes left, and
I'm gonna jump out of here, Smelly.
Hey, that's real. That's real. Oh, I didn't know you were still there. I didn't hear.
Yeah, hey, Melissa, it was interesting. I think you better do another part of this maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have, but what I really want to do, because I really want to bring you on the line to get, you know what I'm saying, an outside opinion.
Right.
But then I didn't want him to be thrown off, you know what I'm saying?
Well, no, I mean, you're concerned about your area there. Maybe you ought to maybe get concerned about the whole state, you know what I mean,
yeah.
A little bit, you know, the other side of the state. I think that's where they're going to get the brunt of it.
Okay, yeah, to see what area is actually affecting and then call to that area.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And to see how they actually handling the plan. All right, well, yeah, I think that's what we're going to have to do. What the fuck are you drinking Friday? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah,
what the fuck are you drinking Friday?
Friday?
That's about right.
You know, yeah, we have to do a follow up on this.
Well, I mean, it's gonna definitely affect me because here I'm a seafood lover. I guess we're probably all my seafood. I know where my seafood comes from. The guy that has the boats for those seafood places around here, Pittsburgh, has boats in Florida. So you know that is definitely going to affect our seafood prices. I promise you.
Mm-mm-mm.
You heard the guy. Hey. Seafood. You heard him. Bam, seafood. Bam.
Yeah, and he wasn't even thinking about that till I said. What about the seafood? Oh, shit. And see, my thing was, because like yesterday, last night, I went and stocked up on 2 cases of water, and my plan was to stock up on 2 cases every fucking day. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
It's like, man, I ain't trying to hear that shit. And then the shit hits our goddamn water purification site,
and then we're trying to filter oil. In a case
uh-huh.
like that, Smelly, you know, you could, you know, instead of buying all that expensive water, I mean, you could, you know, fill some big bottles up with some tap water. I mean, that would be suffice for an emergency. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just in case, because, shit,
right.
Tap water is better than oil water, goddamn.
I would go and try to find some market district down there and try to get these. They have these olive oil barrels. They're made out of plastic, and they are really nice for water. Like
olive oil barrels?
Yeah, they give it to you for free. That's what olive oil comes in. And they're big plastic barrels. And they're 55, about 40 gallon, I guess. And they are great for water storage.
Huh. Yeah, I never heard of that.
Hey, another thing to stop up on is those little tabs that you put in water when it does go bad. There's
the chlorine caps.
Well, whatever, for drinking water. It's a.
Yeah.
They're probably something that you ought to stock up on more than even water. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm ex-military, so I mean, hell, we purified our water right out in the goddamn.
Well, they used to always tell you to boil it, you know, and put them. Or put those chlorine caps in.
Or a chlorine cap, yeah. Put a chlorine cap in it. Wait, you know what I'm saying? Then shit, chlorine kills everything.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind drinking a little bit of chlorine. Before I die of thirst, I'm gonna drink all the chlorine water I can get. You know, I drink swimming pool water before I die.
Yeah, I'm gonna say because the swimming pool water ain't never killed nobody.
No, you can die it. You can drink it.
You know what I'm saying?
You can drink that. You get a little diarrhea, maybe that would be about it.
Yeah. Well,
diarrhea.
It ain't going to kill you versus not drinking anything, which you would actually truthfully find a lot of people motherfucking doing that, though.
Sure.
Because they wouldn't even think to have the mentality that, damn, I got a fucking swimming pool in the backyard.
Yeah, you'd be drinking
and that's
it there,
the freshest water around.
You'd be sitting there drinking it and the dude next to you smiling because he's pissing it right next to you, you know?
Get the fuck out of the pool, man. Fucking bubbles covered up in the pool, man. This is drinking water.
I remember going to the swimming pools when I was little. You had these big public pools. All of a sudden, you'd be sitting there, standing there, talking to somebody. A turd would fly right past you, you know? Like, what the fuck?
Wow, that ain't worse than being at what they call Copeland Park down here that has a wave pool.
Ooh.
And when they actuate, I mean, you're talking about an Olympic-sized pool.
Yeah,
and they actuate this shit to where it mimics waves, right?
Right. I said, we have one here.
Oh man, but then you got little nasty fuckers in there that done shit it in the goddamn pool.
Yeah.
Oh man, now you got a big wave.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, I should tell people here. I have an indoor pool at my house right where I used to have one, and when people would come over to swim, here's what I would say to them. I'd say, look, or my hot tub. I'd say, I got a chemical in here. If you pee in the tub, it'll turn purple, and I'll know that you peed. I always tell people that. Always. You know what I mean? Nobody would pee in my pool. They knew I'd kill them if it would turn purple, but I never had nothing like that. I just
laughed. Hell no. Anybody got some asshole that tried it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the corner and shit.
Yeah,
like,
well, they might have done it. He's full of shit, you know?
You know what I'm saying? Like, fucking
hey, I'll catch you tomorrow, brother.
Hey, that's real, Mr. Bit66.com, you know what I'm saying?
Yep, sir, man. Well,
thank you, man, for calling
square.
In, too, man.
Sounds good. That's a lot of good deals there tonight. Stop in.
All right, well, you need to put some water up there.
I'll put some bits on your thing, all right?
All right, bro. Hey,
right,
man,
bro.
Make sure y'all stop by www.bit66.com, man, and check out my dog, Easy Rider, out of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And it's going down. That's real. And watch out for your water, people. Jesus, watch out for your water, man. Oh. All right, man, let me go ahead and finish this thing on up with, I don't have anything related to fucking poisoning your water and shit, you know what I'm saying? I don't have anything related to that, but, shit. I mean, hell, I don't know, man. I just want to end the show like that. It's been such a fucking good show. That dude right there, I want to fucking bring him back on the goddamn show. And I think I'm going to have to call him up again and, like, look, I mean, I'm be honest with you, you know, I'm a radio show host, and you were on the radio, and I want to bring you back so we can go back into it some more. But we'll see, because I would rather talk to somebody who was actually, you know, down, you know what I'm saying, like in the action, you know what I'm saying? Somebody who actually has either gone down, you know what I'm saying, and assisted with the spill, or somebody that's actually down there, you know what I'm saying, that the area is about to hit. You know what I'm saying? So what kind of plans are they putting into effect? You know what I'm saying? For the surrounding areas, you know, like what do they have planned? You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're going to cover tomorrow, man. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? This is What the Fuck Are You Drinking? What the Fuck Is In Your Water Thursday? And we're going to bring this back, man. So, you know, What the Fuck Are You Drinking Friday? Because people need to know, you know what I'm saying? This is a world problem. It's not affecting just me here in Florida. You know what I'm saying? As you see, this is going to affect everybody across the board. All right? All you seafood lovers, all you fucking beach lovers, you know what I'm saying? All you nature lovers. Like, everything is going to be affected, you know what I'm saying, by this man-made problem. And that's real big. And yeah, you can die from drinking too much water, people. If you didn't believe that, yes, drinking too much tap water will fucking kill you. And if you don't believe it, you better listen to the goddamn monk intro. You know what I'm saying? Where he says, you won't believe what's in the water, it could kill you. And that is so true. So until tomorrow, you know what I'm saying, people, stay blessed, you know what I'm saying, and unstressed, man, and monitor what's in your water, because, wow, we live in a crazy place.
Remix, the time of life, it gets
all
over
the world.
Remix,
New York City.
You got to make it through that
all
hard
world,
time.
California.
And life.
Remix,
Chicago.
That's why.
Florida.
We here to say
Detroit.
Remix.
Only the storms survive.
All over the world.
Now only the storms survive. Cause only the storms survive.
Remix. Come on, baby boy.
Everybody get them. Hard times, the nigga got to spit them. Hard times, you stuck up in the middle, cause in the hard time, my nigga, all it makes you strong. Hard times, everybody get them. Hard times, the nigga got to spit them. Hard times, you stuck up in the middle, cause in the hard time, my nigga, all it makes you strong. Just like murder, business that I have done, got mama crying tonight, because they locked up a son. I'm getting tired of pressure, getting tired of pain, they got me smoking all the juice, fucking up my brain, got me going insane in this bitch. I'm trying to drop the singles down, trying to get rich, but who gonna throw the pitch, nigga, if I don't drop the bowl? I represent the east side and the fo ho. And you know the pussy niggas get smoked.
So they all feel Pennsylvania.
It's my soul, and I bring it so rough and rugged. And people can't touch it. Man, it's hard time, got me feeling tough.
Yeah,
we're hard time.
Only the storms survive. Only the storms survive.
Miami, Florida.
You know.
Plus a 9, make me weigh 158, and that's straight for me to face what I gotta face in these streets, where I gotta make what I gotta make. But you writing checks into my chest, just catching up with you, bitch. You never thought miss you, but you got an issue. Your legs and your thighs in the quarters, pushed all in the water. Death by design, a nigga all
that's
in your order. Should've thought smarter, should've came harder, but should've, could've, would've, can't help you right now. So it's time for you to make a move, time for you to show and prove, time to show these niggas that you do what you say you do. Repping on the block with 22s, niggas say who? The dope man, the big man, the boss man. Ain't got nothing on the left hand, trick a man with the dead hand.
All over the world.
Government inflation, general force gain, purple straight razor, the hood, it ain't all good. Block party, I wish you would.
Remix,
only
remix.
The strong survive, not rise, rise.
All
rise,
over the world.
Remix,
I've been living hard times.
All over the world.
grind. And you know it's about the time, cause I've been doing time.
Oh yeah, remix, remix.
I've been living hard times, cause this is a hard grind. And you know it's about the time, cause I've been doing time.
Japan, remix, remix, remix.
I've been doing hard times since I came out the womb. Took a few puffs of air, hard times for the room. I looked left and then right. The only hard times are what I see in sight. So I jumped up and headed to the door. Told my mama thank you, but now I gotta go. The hard times ain't gonna find me no more. We live in hard times, and that's for sure.
See ya. Only the storm survives. Only the storm.
I'm back on the grind, trying to beat these hard times. Dodging all the crackers and jackals, trying to get mine. I tell them, step back and check yourself. Too late, silly suckers, done wrecked yourself. Now my people on the ride, and y'all better realize that it's our time to shine. And we gon' claim the prize. But if you can't understand, then please step aside. Cause we do it, I said we do it, we all do it. Hard time.
Only the storm survives. Only the storm survives. You know the storm survives. Cause only the storm survives. We gotta be strong, yo. We gotta hold on, yo. We gotta take a stand, yo. I know we can.
I'd like to thank y'all for riding out with Hit After Hit Music. One time for my boy Disco Nate Dizzle, you know what I'm saying, on the beat, in the P's and Q's, you know what I'm saying. One time for Platinum Kings, putting it down. One time for my girl Sky, you know what I'm saying, representing on the beach, you know what I'm saying. This your boy Mr. Smell So Good, you know what I'm saying. Represent one time for Dutch Dirty. One time for Wrecking the Game Entertainment. One time for Jet Set, who always hold it down up in this bitch, you know what I'm saying. Appreciate you, cuz. If y'all want to holler at him, 1-888-859-3762.
We gotta be strong, y'all. We gotta hold on, y'all. We gotta take a stand, y'all. I know we can, y'all.
Yeah, VIP, that nigga DJ Party Time and the Candy Man with that chronic candy, huh? Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Smell So Good. Hit After Hit, I did it again. Oh, yeah.